Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mickey is the name, not Ricky.
Could be Licky, so, could be Ricky.
It's Mickey.
Could be Ricky Tikki Tumba. Remember that book, Ricky? No.
Ricky Tikki Tavi? Is that what you're trying to say?
Ricky Tikki Tumba.
Ricky Tikki Tavi.
You never heard that story about the mongoose and the snake?
Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Huh?
It's Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Ricky Tikki Tumba.
The mongoose and the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Jim, you got any idea what they're talking about? Tom, anybody?
I have no idea. But I can't wait to hear that conversation.
No, but Zoe and I had to watch that on a film strip back in school. How many times did you watch that in school?
How scared were you of snakes after that?
Oh really? What do you call them, like a cobra with the things that would come out. Yeah, it was terrifying. Yeah.
It's not like a garden snake. Hey, kids, don't be afraid. There's a freaking cobra out there.
That's a freaking cobra. It's a big one.
Yep.
Stacy's in Westbrook. Hi, Stacy.
Hey, how are you? How's everything going?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm here.
Great. What's up, man?
How's everything going?
All right.
We're doing good.
And when you're ready to actually do it, you can call back. Okay, Chad's in the car. Chad?
Hey, Chad, how you doing?
No, question for you.
What's up?
How come they're not utilizing the receiving core as the best as they can? Now, I know that it's not
a good group.
The receiving core, like Patterson. Why didn't he get any opportunities just to streak down the sideline, one-on-one coverage, throw it up in the air, see if he can come down with it? James White in the flat. I mean, I know they don't have the best receiving core, but it seems like they're not utilizing each player's capabilities to the max. Why
it does seem like they were more diverse down in Jacksonville, doesn't it? Like the multiple formations. Even Houston. Houston, it was, man, we didn't line up in the same formation twice.
I'm telling you, go back and look.
This felt like
Go back and look. Their formations became predictable in terms of what they're going to run in this
game. But that's the point of, like, Josh can't make chicken salad out of chicken bleep.
But he could have done more. He even admitted. He said, I got to be better.
Now,
the Sony Michel stuff is off the charts.
The Sony Michel stuff gives you reason to talk about that Miami game where we're scratching our heads going, what are you doing with Steven Jackson? We got to find out if he can run the ball. I don't think they're trying to find out, can the kid play? I think they're trying to make the kid play.
Kevin Duffy need him. Completed the math for us yesterday. Kevin Duffy of the Boston Herald. Sony Michel has 24 carries and 5 targets. That's 29 plays where he's been the guy either getting the ball or the ball is being thrown his way.
Okay.
24 carries and 5 targets on 36 snaps. So on 29 of his 36 snaps this season, the ball has been given to Sony Michel.
So that's where
sent to Sony Michel.
But that's where Josh
and
has got to be better.
Makes them entire. That's a. I said that's a problem.
Now, here's
not
the
because
thing.
Sony Michel. Not nothing to do with Sony Michel.
I don't
has everything to do with the fact that you become very predictable when you have things like that happen.
Right now, and I heard Maz killing him yesterday too. The Sony Michel thing. Like he doesn't suck. He doesn't stink. He doesn't blow. He is an explosive player in college that missed the entire preseason because of a leg injury. You could blame himself, or you could blame the team for even getting in on a guy that had a knee. Right? Okay, that's all up for discussion.
And Sony Michel doesn't suck.
That's a fair criticism. I watch a lot of college, big-time college football. I don't watch a lot of college football. I watch Georgia a lot because I like Fromm, their young quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, I start watching this kid, Chubb and Michel, and I'm like, wow, these two backs are pretty freaking good. Then he watched a playoff game. Then he watched the bowl game. Then he watched a national championship game. He is an explosive back. He can run. He can get the daylight. This is his preseason. I don't think this is a Josh thing where Josh is going, we need to find out. I think this is Bill saying, run the kid. see what we got in him. Let's see if we could get him going. And this might help you 3 weeks down the road because he's not going to do or run and try and bounce it out. Remember how critical I was?
You say it's his preseason, so it's like it's his introduction to the NFL. Never mind.
It's getting your feet wet.
This isn't a veteran who's coming back and you're saying, it's his preseason.
I couldn't
he's
even,
still not at, he's never played at this level before.
I couldn't think of even functioning of coming into an NFL training camp as a rookie. You miss basically the entire 4 weeks of camp. And then basically you're learning things through osmosis because you're not repping things with the ones. You're basically a showback. And then they throw you into the fire on the road on Sunday night football in the Hornet's Nest. I don't know how I'd react either.
Well, I wouldn't make excuses for him either.
I'm not. I am not. I'm saying, hey, you could. And I was critical of him. I was critical of him when he bounced that one out and got Trent Brown the holding penalty because there was a lane inside. And he's not reading that correctly. But see, that stuff's coachable. Unless you're Marion Butts and you're just going to run into the back of your own lineman all the time.
How much of this is on Brady, too? Like on those swing passes where he's trying to lead him in that exact precise direction. Maybe it's just get him the ball in open space and let him do his thing.
Well, this is where
Brady. Because Brady's so, he's so refined in the way he plays that Michelle's like probably thinking way too much. If he throws it here, I got to go here. Yeah. If he throws it here, I got to go here. Maybe just give him the ball in open space and let him make some plays and then
get comfortable. Where do you always see Devlin catch the ball? Usually like right in his stomach, right? Like Devlin goes out in the flat. Brady guns it to him right between the 4 and the 6, and he swallows it right in his stomach, and he turns up and runs somebody over. Michelle might be the kind of guy where, and that's the problem with being used to James White. You know, everybody says, well, Brady missed all the OTAs and throwing sessions with Michelle. He had 5-6 weeks of throwing with him in camp. Now, I know he had the knee in that.
Well, no,
but you're still,
not with Sonny Michelle, he didn't.
But you're still playing pitch and catch. All of a sudden, it's not. The kid didn't catch the ball. The ball was right there.
Yeah, OTAs ain't going to help him catch the
ball. Tom Brady's not going to make you be a better receiver is my point.
No, but I'm saying
you run drills all day with Ivan Fierce. That's what makes you better.
Maybe he just needs to think less because he gets the ball in open space. Of course he's going to make some plays.
He's crapping his pants right now. That's what rookies do. You crap your pants, and then you figure it out. Then you get your pants cleaned. Then you get back out there and you start to play with confidence.
Who cleans the pants for you?
The trainers in there.
Gross,
you know who it is. Yeah, Brendan and them—they do a hell of a job. It's like a machine in there. They got two big industrial washers in there.
Clean them up real nice.
Yep. Two big, nice washing machines.
Tom is in Lancaster. Tom.
Hey, how are you guys? You know, I'm kind of laughing about the crap in your pants part. I'm thinking the rookies probably have their own bin for laundry after the game, if you can only imagine. But, so I'm looking at Sony Michel, and the thing that's bothered me about him in the backfield is that he is definitely explosive. He is getting thrown to the wolves, but I watched him at least 5 or 6 times on Sunday, just completely try and sweep the play to the outside, and he's got no ability to do that. He's not big enough. He doesn't have the burst of speed yet, so just ultimately poor decisions. But it went on all game as though no backs coach was telling him, stop it, you need to swim inside.
He ran between the tackles, Tom, and he made contact, and he had contact. He didn't get stoned right there. He was still able to get another yard or two. And this kid, if you look at him and you stand next to him, he's not a big kid. He's like a little bit bigger than Deion Lewis.
He's
like
5'10".
But his upper legs are thick. Like his legs rub together. That's odd.
He's listed at 5'11"?
No way.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like he got a little extra size there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, they got him listed at 5'11".
Yeah, so he's 5'9".
Yeah. No, he's not.
Right.
Not even close. But he doesn't suck. I just don't think he's not used to the speed of the NFL. I think that, to me, is the most alarming thing for him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody's really fast at this next level. You don't have as much time as you did playing at Georgia. And I think he'll get used to it. I think he'll adjust.
I'm not even used
to seeing him. But he didn't even have a preseason game to do that.
It's so quick. I'm even not used to seeing him. Like, I see 26 flash, and I'm still ingrained, like, Logan Ryan. That's, you know, I'm like, okay, who's 26?
Like,
okay,
he had some practice time. He missed a ton of practice. He missed all the preseason games. And even in practice, you're not getting full-speed NFL action in a practice.
He even froze a little bit on a short kick. He was one of the up guys in front of Patterson back there on a kickoff. He ended up grabbing it, and he looked at him. He didn't know what to do, and then he turned and ran upfield. Like, he's hesitating right now.
Everything's coming at him at 1,000 miles an hour right now.
He needs a couple more weeks, okay?
Frank is in Lowell. Frankie.
Hey, guys, great show. Good. Listen, I just want to say for the panicking fans out there that You know, by October, the first week in October, we're going to be 100% healthy. We get Edelman back. I mean, Josh Gordon should be ready to go. And I just wondered what you guys thought.
I mean, I'm counting on Edelman big time. That's just me, though. And I know the quarterback's going to – I think he's going to depend on him highly. I think he's going to try and feed him the ball a lot to get him up and running. And I think that's how you fix it quickly in a short term. But you still need another guy outside Edelman. You know, is it Edelman, Patterson, and Dorsett and Hogan? Is that still it? No, Gordon's got to get going too. You know, maybe they're still looking at guys. See, I still don't think Josh Gordon's the guy they were looking at saying, okay, that's the one piece we were going to go out and get. Josh Gordon materialized because Josh Gordon screwed up last week. It's the only way that materialized. I wasn't talking about Josh Gordon prior to last week. He wasn't even on the radar. I don't think he was on their radar.
Can I throw a name out there? When you said Golden Tate or better a few weeks ago, the first name that popped in my head, and I haven't mentioned it yet, Amari Cooper.
I said Amari Cooper, too. I said Amari Cooper type. Yep.
See what Jordy Nelson did this week for the Raiders?
Yeah, 157.
Amari Cooper's done nothing for John Gruden's offense so far.
I take Cooper.
They got rid of Khalil Mack. He wasn't afraid to get rid of Khalil Mack. If they can get something for Amari Cooper, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if they get rid of him.
Cooper had 10 catches for $116 last week. Yeah, good game.
That's good. But, I mean, I think Nelson popped at, like, $157 or something.
Now, this past weekend, he had 5 catches for 17 yards. Okay. But
there you go, Jim.
The week before, he blew it up. 116 yards on 10 catches against
Denver.
That's
15 catches for less than 130 yards.
Oh, how many Dorsett and Hogan have?
What do you want to say? I'll give you season numbers. He's got 13 catches for 142 yards.
That's an explosive guy averaging 11 yards a catch.
He had a horrible year last year.
And see, don't forget, everybody's killing Hogan this past week. Go back to Jacksonville. Hogan was productive down in Jacksonville. But it's got to be, you understand why and how he gets productive? He gets set up on stuff. How did he score a touchdown? They had the perfect formation where he had Ramsey with outside leverage on him. That was terrible coverage by Ramsey, but Brady recognized it, banged it on him. And the other one was an okey-doke play where you bring motion, a quick fake underneath, and they slipped Hogan up underneath the backers, and he outran him.
Still had 7 touchdowns last year, but 48 catches, which was a career low last season. Cooper. Maybe. 0-3, those Raiders.
That's a guy they're going
to have. John Gruden really working out well there, isn't he?
They're going to have to pay him soon. So they're going to have to make a decision on him soon. Yep. So, I don't know. Midseason?
I'm a fan. I'd do that deal. I'd do a trade for Amari Cooper. 617-779-0985. Yesterday was media day for the Boston Celtics, and Kyrie Irving has been talking. Let's get to that and continue on the football as well today throughout the show. But Kyrie Irving and the Celtics next.
That's what rookies do. You crap your pants.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
You know, I just really thought it was important to make sure it's known that, you know, this franchise is really built for the next few years of being at the top tier of teams in the league. And who wouldn't want to be a part of that? I mean, you know, what more could you ask for from an organization to really elevate your game? And, you know, when you want to be on along those same lines, same lineage of greatness of guys that have come before you, I mean, you know, there are times where I think about having number 11 in the Raptors hopefully one day. And, I mean, that's a dream, you know, so why not? You know, it wasn't so much coming out, but, you know, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. I feel that way about my teammates. I feel that way about this organization. So looking forward to the challenge this year.
Kyrie Irving yesterday in the Celtics media day. It felt like other teams were having their media day yesterday as well.
Is this a one-hit wonder?
Yep. Sure is. Kyrie Irving's changed his tune. He's very committed to Boston over the last few days. It started Friday night with Jackie McMullen's story, which I think is still the best stuff here. Kyrie Irving said he's aware that he's been linked to Jimmy Butler in persistent free agent rumors regarding a mutual desire to play together in New York. But he said he's had no such discussions with Butler. In fact, he said the last time he talked to Butler at length was when they were both playing with USA Basketball, and the two engaged in a spitballing session along with Durant and Cousins about what the future held for each of them. And that, Irving laughed, was in 2016. Do you buy that?
Some of it.
I don't buy that.
No?
I don't buy
that. I mean, you don't have to buy the entire thing.
I don't buy
verbatim.
I don't buy this part of it. You haven't really talked about it since 2016.
I can see guys have broken
balls.
We haven't
really talked about anything like that in 2 years.
I can see Madden saying, in my mind, it's not a serious discussion.
Maybe
we might
isn't.
Joke about it and this and that, but I'm not going to sit here as I know who you are and how you are as a basketball writer. If I put this out there and understand what the city is, if I say something as serious or, yeah, we really took it, you know, to an extended part down that line.
No, but to say that you haven't really had a serious at-length conversation with the guy in 2 years, I don't buy that.
Why would he lie?
Because he's downplaying what has already transpired.
He seems like a guy that could just disappear for 4 months and not talk to him because he does his own thing.
Okay.
He's got other interests.
We're still in the NBA offseason, right? The season hasn't begun.
Yeah.
Right? And now they're back. They're back to work. His tone, what he's saying, all of it is completely different now than where it was a couple of months ago. It's completely different.
Because I think you get around your teammates and you start seeing again.
I think something has happened.
Like what?
You just wake up one day and you decide, you know what? I'm gonna approach this completely differently than what I've done so far.
I think it's completely consistent with what he's done in this whole offseason. He's in New York. Oh, yeah, I'd love to play in New York.
He likes where he is.
He's in Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to stay in Boston.
Oh,
he's
so
playing to the crowd no matter where he is.
So you're basically saying
over the summer, I brought up Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
When Johnny Damon was a free agent to be, every stop on his tour, that whole season before when he played for the Red Sox, I'd love to play here. I wouldn't mind playing here at all. It's the same thing.
So is that sort of fraudulent then?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, right, superstars are like that,
though. Fraud. I'm not saying he's a fraud.
Wherever you go, you're the story. Okay.
I think that the fact that he wouldn't say these things last season when he was in Boston or this offseason was when he was in Boston, because he was in Boston this offseason. He had a press conference at the Garden promoting the movie this offseason.
I think he
flirted more with New York than he did with Boston in the summer months. And now he's back in camp. And I think he's singing a different song.
I
think there's something behind it. And I think it's good. I think ultimately this is good that he's doing this.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, this is a team that signs your checks. So you back down, you get your team, and you're excited about the year. And you see Gordon's healthy, and he's getting it going. So I can understand
why
he's
excited. But he doesn't have to say some of the things he said here in recent days. And I feel better about the prospects of him staying.
But maybe if you get him in the facility the way he's been there now working out, and he's like, look at this place. Holy crap. I remember being here in the old stadium when they would repaint our bench because it was all scratched up, and we'd be excited. Like, wow.
So, no offense, but an NBA player
in
2018 doesn't give a damn about their facilities. They care about their money, and they should. They shouldn't care. You shouldn't make your decision on where you're going to play based on a nice practice facility.
If everything is even, it plays in. That's where you spend most of your time. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where, wow, okay, I could see me working here every day. That's kind of cool. That makes me feel good.
This guy has been here for over a year and has said nothing like he said in the last 72, 96 hours or so, we'll say.
Here's my problem.
He hasn't said anything like the things he has said, including yesterday saying, I believe Boston is the place for me. Telling Jackie McMullen in this story that was published Friday, who wouldn't want to be a part of this? Who wouldn't want to be a part of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward? People keep saying, why won't he commit to Boston? Well, there are financial implications involved.
Yeah. It's all about money.
So don't...
You're going to go where you make the most money.
I think it's so ridiculous. You know, who wouldn't want to be a part of this? Looking at the practice facility. Right. You're not going to make your pick based on the practice facility.
I'd love to be a part of this, too. And I just hope they pay me.
Don't you assume that if he's staying, he's staying on a max deal? Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the conversation about? What, do you think they weren't going to pay him? They're trying to lowball him?
Maybe he'll take less money to keep some guys around.
Maybe
that's the consideration.
As Jackie wrote, if Irving had signed an extension with Boston this past summer, he would have potentially left more than $80 million on the table, which I totally get. No one was expecting him to sign early. He'd be losing money, leaving it on the table.
Yeah. I've just been so scarred and burned by, not burned, but like just the NBA stuff, the way the build is, the way they put teams together, and I think Kyrie just gives you a good interview. He always does. He's a thinker. He knows what he's doing.
I'm accepting it's going to be a constant story. It's a point in my professional career where it's a big-time decision. I've been away from Cleveland officially for a year now, and I'm finally getting acclimated to Boston.
Was that Durant that would go in every city and say, yeah, I love playing here? Was that the guy that said that, or who was that? Remember, who played
here in Boston? Yeah, Durant had some of that.
Somebody had that
Durant,
in Boston.
Durant
we went
said
nuts.
That in
oh, I love
he said
Boston.
It in
love
Philly. He said it in a bunch of places.
And I'm like, yeah, okay.
He obviously said it in Washington.
They know what they're doing. He knows what he's doing. It's always, they're always going to be in it for themselves. They are. And that's, hey, that's that league. And if you like that league, you're used to this stuff. And you're going to get excited when he talks that way. Then you're going to get pissed at him when he goes and starts marketing himself in other cities.
So you don't think anything's happened specifically? I think there had to have been some sort of conversation with the Celtics where they informally sat down and talked about the future.
Why wouldn't Brad talk about the future with him?
Not
I
Brad.
Could see Brad doing
Not
it.
Not Brad.
Really?
No, Danny.
Danny?
Brad doesn't do the contracts.
I mean, it's he and Danny have had their little Chipotle meetings here and there around town. I could see that happening, too.
Right, where they actually focused on something other than the here and now and talked about the future.
Right.
That something that maybe left him feeling
good. And it is going
to
be up to Danny.
The money and the max deal and all that.
Danny's got to adapt the way this league runs now, too. And Danny's got to know how to get ahead of this. So it's going to be up to Danny to retain this guy. He's going to have to talk him into it. Your play will do it. I'm telling you. I know this league better than anybody. I will pull trades off. I got your ass here. That's the best example you have right now is Danny sitting in front of him. You're here because of me. I pulled that trigger like that, and I'll pull it. And if I have a chance to make this team better, I will do it. And that's why you're going to stay here, and you're going to play, and I'm going to continue to bring damn good people in and put them around you.
617-779-0985. You want to talk about Kyrie as well? I welcome that into the conversation. Here's Hardy with the headlines.
Hardy.
Yeah. What's up, headlines?
Generally, we wait for that part, and then we'll start the headlines. But that's okay. Alex Cora, very happy with the performance of one Nathan Eovaldi last night as the Red Sox picked up their 106th win of the season.
Nate was awesome. Used his fastball in different spots, threw a lot of splits. He was up in the zone, backdoor cutters, pitch inside. It's one of those outings that, although the last inning he had to work for it, but also you look up, it's 10 strikeouts, and we haven't seen that in a while. But very happy with the way they worked today. Christian did an outstanding job.
One run in five innings, and as Alex Cora just said, 10 strikeouts for Eovaldi last night as the Red Sox and Orioles will play the second of the three games set tonight. Sox got the 6-2 win last night, set the franchise record for wins in a season. Meanwhile, Patriots preparing for the visiting Miami Dolphins on Sunday afternoon. Last night, Steelers beat the Buccaneers 30-27 in the Monday night game. Jimmy Garoppolo has been confirmed. Torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the season for the San Francisco 49ers. Headlines are brought to you by the engagement ring experts at Long's Jewelers with the area's largest selection of engagement rings. Long's Jewelers, how Boston and New England get engaged. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your Sports Hub headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Matt's in Quincy. Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Hey, I just wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, back when it was draft time, you know, you had the needs of that wide receiver clearly an issue. You know, you got this kid, Calvin Ridley, putting up big numbers, only three games of the season. You know, and you know we don't need to draft a running back in the first round. And you just got two chances at Calvin Ridley, and you blew it. And so now we're sitting here trying to make something of Josh Gordon and all this stuff, and just want to hear your thoughts on that.
How did you blow it again?
By not drafting Calvin Ridley.
That's like, what if Isaiah Wynn was a starter and didn't have a blown out Achilles?
You probably wouldn't say that
still
he blew
it. Yeah. I mean, we forget that you still have Isaiah Wynn here. I think you're looking at Sonny Michel off one game. So, give it time. Let's not forget, too. You put Calvin Ridley here. Who's he playing opposite? Cordell Patterson and Philip Dorsett? You can put anybody out there and put Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones opposite him. I'm sure he's going to get some good looks, right? You're going to get the third or fourth best defender? You think Julio's doubled? I would think so.
That's a good point, so.
I mean, yeah. How's their backs and how's their skill people? Decent tight end. So they got a good tight end, too.
When you're the third option, you can
look He's probably the fourth option look in good. Offense. Yeah.
And Chris Hogan used to be really good here, too, and he didn't have to be the number one guy.
Chris Hogan had like 300 yards against the Steelers in a playoff game. So, I mean, we keep going over this, right? I mean, I know there's numbers there, and it looks great, and he's playing well. Yeah, he's drawn the fourth or fifth defender. When Edelman comes back, and say Josh Gordon gets up and running, I wonder what kind of looks Chris Hogan's are gonna, what kind he's going to get. People forget it was Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell saved your ass in the Super Bowl. Because if I'm a team and I'm playing defense, I'm going to muddy the middle of the field.
Zell, how would you say this name? What does that even say?
Eschnell. Eschnell.
What is the name?
Eschnell.
Someone in Milford wanting to talk Kyrie Irving.
How you doing?
What's your name?
Jet Neal.
What is it?
Yeah, man, it's a little confusing. It's Jet Neal.
Jet Neal.
Okay, all right. Not even close on the call screener.
Now, who's the intern?
Now I know what you're saying. All right, what's up? What do you got on Kyrie?
I just wanted to talk about, you guys said that maybe he didn't, you know, talk to Jimmy Butler. But, you know, I don't know if you guys ever read the reports that he didn't even talk to his own teammates in the Cavaliers during the playoffs.
Who didn't?
I mean,
Kyrie, when he was there?
Kyrie Irving. Yeah.
That doesn't really reflect well on him.
They said there was reports that he didn't even talk to his own teammates. He just came in, did practice, and left.
It just scares the hell out of me with this player that he won and won at an extremely high level and was that MVP of that series with LeBron. And he just said, you know what? I don't want to go back to the NBA Finals every year. I don't want to stay together with this. That, to me, is a flight risk. And that's always in play. You can't take that and what transpired there away from him. There's a reason he got traded here. He didn't want to be there.
Susan's in New Hampshire. Hi, Susan.
Hey, you guys.
Hey,
I'm good, thanks. I'm anxious to hear what you guys think. What do you predict? How is this going to play out with Brady and Belichick? Sounds like Brady needs a divorce lawyer. I'm thinking Belichick's going to leave.
What kind of lawyer would you recommend?
There's a good one in Boston.
Oh boy.
Anyway, a divorce lawyer. But anyway, do you think that Belichick says goodbye to the Patriots and becomes a GM like Tom Coughlin in, I forget where he is now, Jacksonville.
Right. Certainly possible. I don't know.
I doubt it. I think Bill's done.
Well, Bert's talked about it, though.
I think teams would want him. And it's probably interesting. Hey, let's give this to him.
I think Bert's holding a little bit back in his reporting on this. I think Bert has heard some things. He doesn't want to fully share with us.
Mm. What an evil genius he is, you know, little Bert.
No, I just think that, you know, here's things.
See him starting
to run
his mouth.
He said after we played him the Mort report.
Yeah.
That said, Bill Belichick could be done in a year or two here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bert said, I could completely see that happening. It sounds feasible.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know. How will we know?
We won't. Time will only tell. Have to wait and see. Troop, get a good. Hey, Artie, give me that troopism. What is it?
Well,
that's sports.
Well, we'll find out after it happens.
Unbelievable.
Could he be getting ready to leave? Yep. I don't think that's a ridiculous thing to think.
Yeah.
That could be going on. Sean is up next on Kyrie Irving. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey.
So my thing was, if Kyrie signs for the max deal, which, I mean, I'm a huge fan, so I'm going to assume that he's going to, but would you say that the Nets trade or the Kyrie Irving trade was better in the long run, I should say?
Wait, the Nets Irving trade?
Well, how does it end up? What's he talking about?
The Kyrie Irving trade netted you Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
The picks have netted you picks and players.
Right. Calls back in 10 years.
I don't know. I've never been put in a spot where I have to debate which of two good trades is a better trade. I'm not sure I care either.
I don't really understand the question.
I don't really care. Blair and Maine.
It's a question you can't answer. You got 20 seconds. How long's he got?
You can answer it 10 seconds.
Hello, I got as long as the Miami Dolphins are going to take you guys to the house.
Thank
we're
going
to take you guys
you
to
suck.
The house.
Oh, why is my button?
You suck.
Bye, Blair. New king in the AFC East. Wait, at least wait until 10 weeks in before you start doing that.
Blair.
It's week 4. We're going into week 4 in the NFL season.
And then I want Arizona winning the whole thing pretty much.
Oh. Is that this year that he said that? Or was that last year?
Last year.
Okay. Yeah, Cardinals were going to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joe in Chelmsford. Joe?
Hey, how we doing?
Great.
Great. Hey, I just want to say, you know, I'm in support of Brady and,
Brady?
Yeah, definitely, man. He's the best. He's the best.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
again.
He's the GOAT.
He is the GOAT.
Can you email the show?
Do you have our email?
No, I've never emailed.
Oh, okay.
But I'd also like to comment on this Josh Gordon thing. This could be a good thing. I mean,
sure,
you know, it's kind of crazy. I don't think they should have gotten rid of Amendola.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I liked it. He was great, man. They should have never got rid of him.
I know. I would have paid him anything. But, I'd have given him $10 million a year.
Oh, absolutely.
Hell yeah. It's Mr. Kraft's money. It's not ours.
Story in that call. On the absolutely.
Can you email the show and never call again? Boy, we had Hardy. We had really good discussion when the phones were down, didn't we?
It forced us to have really good discussions.
Hey.
Where we stay focused.
Yeah, we missed out on gems like that. I'd rather.
I like when callers call and say, "Hey, thanks for answering."
No, thanks now, for calling.
Oh no, thank you for calling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
thanks for having
thanks
me,
for having
guys.
Me
well, thank you. We set this up weeks ago. Yeah. And,
thanks for fitting us in your day.
I'm glad it worked
you know
out
what,
for
T-Bone,
everybody.
Good job booking Cheryl in New Hampshire for Thursdays.
I want.
You know what Blair in Maine does?
Why
it makes
do we even,
me.
I don't
you
know,
it does.
Why we have stuff like that.
It makes me never want to go to Maine. Like, I've been to Gunkwood. It's nice. Nice little coast.
I'm not going to hold Blair against
the
state.
Yeah, go way, way up there.
I'm not going to hold that against
I've been to Sunday River. They do have some nice towns.
We're going to get to Tom Brady with Jim Gray coming up at noon. Coming up next, the Jets interested in trading for Le'Veon Bell.
Ooh.
We'll get to that story next.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
It's a jam right here. So.
Sure is. Come on, Eileen.
This to me is like biggest one hit wonder ever. Like,
the,
this one's a big
Texas
one.
Midnight
this
Runners, man. One. We would go see Jim Plunkett, the one man band. Everybody out there plays the Improper down the Cape. He goes around to different bars on Thursday nights up here, and it was a pilgrimage. Twice a week we'd see this guy, and when Come On Eileen came on, just the fifth, that would get the whole place going. This is a jam. You like this one. You got all excited.
That's a good one. It's a good one. Should be high on any one-hit wonder list. Today is one-hit wonder day. National.
Yeah.
And international. I've now given it an international title. Did you see the latest on Le'Veon Bell, who's still not with the Steelers? They're considering trading him. They're open to trade offers.
Getting to that point. Right?
They could still rescind their franchise tender. They could get comp draft picks for him. They could do things like that. And according to one report, the New York Jets have considered and talked internally and maybe even reached out to the Steelers.
He has to agree to a deal and has to sign a new deal before he gets traded. That's the one caveat here, you know.
It was a preliminary conversation, according to the report, that says that they've talked preliminary. No offer, no official offer. But they're one of a handful of teams in the league that could take on a salary of nearly $12 million to add him onto the roster. New York Daily News, Manish Mehta had the report that the Jets have not made a concrete offer, but they believe the Steelers are serious about moving him. That's the Steelers' impression from that preliminary conversation. Are you rooting for that? Because I am.
It doesn't make the Steelers better getting rid of this guy.
No, it doesn't.
That's
it
why you're the Steelers. That's why you're rooting for him.
And it makes the Jets better, no doubt about it, but it's not going to make them a threat. And I just would be interested to see it.
I don't know if they're good enough on the outside. And that's the whole balance, that delicate balance of what do you want? You want to run a game? You want to help
run a game? And I'm going to tell you something else that I like about
is
it.
Is he going to play as hard?
The Jets are going to be dumb enough to sign him to a long-term deal.
Because there's
and
one
that's
thing
why
you know.
I'm rooting for it, too.
There's one thing you do know in this league, and that is true. The running backs eventually break down. And this guy, not only does he have enormous mileage on him from a pro standpoint.
A lot of mileage.
He had a lot of miles on him. Michigan. Hardy, didn't Michigan State run this guy into the ground in college? Wasn't he getting
Oh, my God. He was carrying the ball like 40. It was unbelievable.
It was in the 30s. You're right.
Yeah. It was
like 300 carries a year.
It was
That's crazy.
Insane. I was just thinking about this the other day as a guy. It's like, how could he want to hang it up? How would he be willing to walk away?
Right. Well,
this guy has carried the ball more in his time in college in the league
than most
guys do for much longer careers.
He had a horrific junior year, ACL.
His junior year, his final year at Michigan State, 2012, he ran the ball 382 times.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't exaggerating.
Don't forget, that's not an NFL schedule. That's 13 games total.
I think he had 46 carries one game. 46.
What was the number again, Beetle?
382.
Divided by 13?
Yes.
That's averaging over 29 carries a game.
The most carries he had that year was in their opener against Boise State. He ran 44 times.
I wasn't
44
just,
times in the opener.
I wasn't just using hyperbole. No, he'd carry it like 40 times a game.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. 44 carries.
I remember him as a bigger back too in college. He feels like a bigger bruising back in college, right?
Yeah. 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 Well, they were grinded out, man. Yeah.
Here is rushing attempts in the NFL.
Big pads, big pad level.
Oh my God,
244, 290, 113 in 2015 when he was hurt.
Was he playing for George Perlis? The old up the middle punt team?
261, and then he had 321 carries last year. Which 300 carry guys in the NFL, it's not happening as often as it used to. So far in his five NFL seasons, he's got 1,229 carries. Add that on to the three previous seasons in college when he had 671 carries. Are you following all this?
Oh, my God.
You've got a total for him. I'll do the math quick here. That would be
That's
a
why
total
you
of exactly 1,900 carries on the nose.
Good grief.
Between his time in the NFL and at Michigan State, he's carried the ball 1,900 times. Yeah.
Yeah, he's tired.
He's got over 5,000 yards in his NFL career to this point. But, yeah, 1,229, and he's a guy who's played five full seasons, and this is when you start seeing backs not be as effective as they were early in their career, and you start to see the decline. For some guys, it's fast. For some guys, it's slow. What is wrong with you? Are you okay?
You're fine. Just keep talking.
What the hell just happened there?
My charger got pulled out because my wheel goes over the cord.
Did
got
you
wrapped
just
up in
see
a
that?
Freaking
so
wheel.
He's pissed. He's having a meltdown.
I feel like I'm
like, are you okay?
Stupid thing behind me.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I just ran over my charger cord, which got cut up in a damn wheel.
What, by stupid thing, you mean wall?
Better than punching you in the face.
Oh, there it is.
Take a call. Let's get the calls. Let's go.
All right, so you for it? I'm for it.
I'm for it.
I hope.
Doesn't make the Steelers better. Eventually, he'll burn out with the Jets. They'll be crippled because they're going to have to pay him $14 million.
I want to see that.
I'm rooting for him to the Jets. Yes.
I'd
bring
love
him to the conference.
To see it.
Yes.
617-779-0985. So throw that on the table as well. Stuart's in Memphis. Stuart.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hello from Memphis.
This sounds like Blair in Maine.
What's up, Blair? How you doing?
What's up, Stuart?
What's going on, man? No, this is Stuart. Listen, we've been talking about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I am sick and tired of this defensive coordinator. Somebody has got to find a hole.
He's been here like 6 minutes, dude.
It's time to get another defensive coordinator. I'm going to give him one more chance against Miami. This defense could not stop a cold.
I say call Bum Phillips.
They're terrible.
Well, technically, they don't even have a defensive coordinator right now, Stuart. They won't even. They have not given that title to anybody.
Right.
They need to find one.
Okay, Stuart. They've got Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is in every one of those meetings. Bill Belichick, very tight with the defense. The
reason we're here on a Tuesday.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
Well, they even looking?
Hey, where do they pick up defense coordinator? Do they pick them up down at the defense coordinator shop? We got to go get one. Pick one up on the way home. Pick me up a big defense. Give me, go get the big one on the bottom. You know when you buy the dog food bags, you get the big bags on the bottom?
John is on the Cape with a Celtics thought today. Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hey, hey, what's happening? What? Who you got right now?
Scott Zolak.
Oh, this is Zoe?
Hey, John.
Hey, Zoe, what's happening?
What's going down, man?
I work down at Kingman Yacht Center, your favorite bar, the chat room.
The chat room.
Okay, thanks for the call, John.
Remember yesterday when the phone? Remember yesterday when the phones were down? That's awesome.
Joe and Gardner, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I have two questions, actually. Okay. Brady, a year or two ago, mentioned that he would like to keep playing until he was like 45. It didn't, and he didn't really say if he was going to. It would be with the Patriots, the way he said it. My question is, do you think he will finish his career in Boston?
Yeah,
and also, I have another question. I feel like we've been totally outcoached this year and probably parts of last year. Your opinion on that?
Yes, okay. That part's true. And Bill Belichick's even said it.
Better caller right there.
Yeah. Do I think Brady finishes here? Yes.
I do. I do think Brady will retire here.
I think Bill gets another job elsewhere.
I think they've been getting smoked from a coaching perspective. I thought Marone had a great game plan, and Matt Patricia knows where the dead bodies are buried on this defense, to use a Greg Bedard term. And you got lit up. That was a bad one. That was Josh versus Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia won that one.
We have headlines with Hardy. 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll hear from Tom Brady with Jim Gray.
Let's take a couple more calls.
Westwood One. That's coming up next. Shut up.
Just sit down and keep it to chat room.